Welcome back to the Benchwarmers podcast. I'm Chris.
I'm Jonah.
And I'm Van.
First off, we want to thank everyone who listened to our first podcast.
We are accompanied by our special guest, Mr. Rosen. How are you today?
I'm doing good. I am looking forward to the experience of being part of the Benchwarmers. I'm kind of like the Benchwarmer of the Benchwarmers, which is an honor.
Yeah. Okay. So going on to our first topic, do you think if LeBron gets another title, does he become the GOAT?
Am I supposed to start on this one?
You can start. Sure. You can start.
All right. Well, I think I've been thinking about it a lot. It's obviously a question that is out there. I think there are a lot of things to it. I obviously watched a tremendous amount of Michael Jordan, and part of my love-hate experience with Michael Jordan was I was a huge Knicks fan during the 90s, and I really feel for that eight-year period, six of them that he was actually playing basketball actively, he was unstoppable in a way that LeBron has never been at any point in his career. And as much as there's so much more asked of LeBron to do in a game, I still think that the height that Jordan reached in those 6 years, even though he never defeated what I deem as a great team in the finals, you know, and if you ask me, I think he beat some pretty good Knicks teams on the way to the finals, but still not teams that are all-time greats, compared to what LeBron has faced in the playoffs. I just think it's hard when you look at some of the series that LeBron has lost, that first Mavericks finals, the conference finals to the Magic, those feel to me two series that Jordan would not have lost if you put him in that situation. And I think there's also an element of when Michael Jordan retired, I do believe he probably was in a position that he could have won two or three more titles later in his career, even if Pippen moved. You know, I think that he could have lured another great player to Chicago, or he could have gone and been the one to join those Blazers teams or the Rockets teams. And I just feel like as much as I respect LeBron's game, as much as I respect how much he's changed basketball and how much he is expected to do, the dominance and ruthlessness of Jordan is just unprecedented.
All right. I respectfully disagree. I think LeBron has already done enough to claim that GOAT title. I think he's been to the finals 10 times. And I get the 4-6 record. But personally, Jordan lost before the finals. So, and I also think the sustained success. LeBron has basically been the best player in the league since he entered the league. He was the most hyped up player coming into the league. Completely dominated in his rookie year. Completely dominated on those first Cavs teams. He had no help, and he was continued to dominate. He even got to a finals, which is really impressive. And then he goes to the Heat, and he had a rough 2011. But then he wins that title, 2012, Game 6, Celtics. That's probably his best game ever. I think he dropped like 45, must-win Game 6. And I just think also the 3-1 comeback, 2016 with the Cavs, and then 2018 with the Cavs, probably what people say is peak LeBron. He just, at a time, he led his team with points, rebounds, assists, blocks, steals. We haven't seen a player like that. Jordan was like points, steals, but he didn't facilitate the way that LeBron does. LeBron makes his teammates better. And I just think LeBron would have a lot more titles if he didn't go up against probably the greatest team of all time, in the 2017 and 2018 Warriors. And he just had a lot stacked against him. So I see Michael Jordan as his height was probably the same as LeBron, but he did not sustain it, and he retired. And then his last two seasons with the Wizards, like we were talking about this today, LeBron right now is still, like, LeBron's in year 19 or whatever, and he's still absolute, like, he still averaged, like, 29, 28 this season, where Michael Jordan in his last 2 years averaged 20 on 23 points on 42% shooting, and then he, the next year, he averaged 20 points on 45% shooting. So he just wasn't, he hadn't, didn't have that sustained success, so.
I actually agree with Mr. Rosen here. I think that MJ, when he wanted to win, he would always win, you know, because as you see in the Mavs series of LeBron, you know, he's somewhat choked, and I feel like if Jordan was put in that position, he would always win and always do what's best for his team. But I also do think that if LeBron wins another title, he'll probably be the GOAT, but it's not looking that way right now. So I think Jordan stays the GOAT.
I'm going to have to agree with Jonah here because I always thought LeBron was better than Jordan because of the competition they both face. I know that, like you can't, it's hard to compare eras, but, like, the era that LeBron's playing in right now, I feel like it's the best version of basketball ever. And I feel like the Warriors as a whole are the greatest team ever. And the fact that LeBron can, like, I know he didn't win every single one, obviously, but the fact that he could win even one ring against the Warriors, I feel like is impressive because it's like, I'm not saying he didn't have help, but the Warriors are, like, again, the best team ever. So, and that, like, winning that ring, I feel like is more impressive than any ring that Jordan has won. And not to even mention all the success LeBron has. He has the most points ever. I think, like, second most assists ever and, like, 10,000 rebounds still. And his resume is also just, like, completely stacked. And I'm not saying Jordan's wasn't. I'm just saying LeBron.
I don't agree with what you're saying because, obviously, as time goes on, you know, this era will obviously be better because basketball is just a more evolved game. But I think if you look at, like, per era, Jordan was just so dominant, you know. He was just always, you know, the clear best player in the league. And he also, overall, has just won more than LeBron. You know, he's 6-for-6, and LeBron's 4-for-10. And I think winning a championship is the key piece to proving that you're a winner.
I think that also in 2015, when Kyrie and Kevin Love, Kyrie got hurt. That's another time where he would have won if Kyrie's healthy, let's be honest. And I think there are a bunch where, I think there are just a bunch of finals where it's really skewed. So I think that he's the better player overall.
I mean, you mentioned that one huge game, game 6 against the Celtics. If you look back at Jordan's career, the amount of huge games he put up in big situations, obviously, we're just looking at points. It's just unprecedented. And the game was different back then also because the toll that, you know, a star player took was so much more. There was so much more physical, especially, you know, in the early 90s before some of the hand-checking rules. And what those Knicks teams did to Jordan was just unbelievable. And he still found a way, whether it be at the free throw line, and he, you know, evolved his game to become a back to the basket turnaround jump shooter. And again, as someone who could not stand watching Jordan win, there was a feeling like it was inevitable in a way that LeBron has never reached that level. And there have been so many times where LeBron has been sitting at that podium after a big game and just being like, nah, I don't know what happened tonight. We try to give it our best. And though he's been going up against great teams, there just seemed to be something different about Michael in the big moment. But at the same time, I agree that the surrounding cast for LeBron, especially in those Cavs years, it's just amazing that he got up to as many finals as he could. But again, if you look at the titles he's won, he's always done it with another great player next to him. And to think that that Heat team only won two titles, and the fact that, you know, he got blown out by the Spurs in that last year, and it's kind of like, oh, the Spurs were just so much better. How a team with Dwayne Wade, Bosch, and Ray Allen can be thought to be completely overmatched. I still think that finals is another one. As good as Kawhi was, as good as Duncan was in those finals, I feel like Jordan in that situation would have found a way to win.
All right. That's going to wrap that up. So we're going to do a little game. We're going to do a little draft. So we're going to go around snake draft all-time starting five. And with the first pick, we're going to give Chris Sang the first pick.
All right.
And then we'll do Van, and then we'll do Mr. Rosen, and then we'll do me.
For the first pick, I want LeBron.
Okay, for my first pick, I want Michael Jordan.
Wow, that leaves me with a very unfortunate third spot, not where you want to be picking in the draft. I'm going to go a little bit off the board. It's a player that I saw in his prime, was as dominant, I think, without getting the hype and the recognition. He's got almost as many titles as LeBron. I think you actually have the same number, and that's Tim Duncan.
I like that pick. I'm going to go with probably the person with maybe the most unstoppable move of all time, the hook shot, Kareem. And then I have back-to-back picks, so I'm also going to pair him up with probably one of the best passers of all time, the playmaker, Magic Johnson. So,
I am going to go with someone Magic knows very, very well. When I was a kid, there was nothing like staying up late during All-Star Weekend to watch the three-point contest and to see a all-time great like Larry Bird, who still felt the competitive juices to compete in that competition and destroy all comers. Suppose he's one of the greatest trash talkers of all time. And I think something that's so underrated I think other than Steph, he's the best shooter I've ever seen. He was a phenomenal passer and someone who averaged 10 rebounds a game for his career. A great winner and just a phenomenal basketball player.
Okay, with my second pick, I'm going to take who I think is the most dominant player of all time, Shaquille O'Neal. All
right, for my second pick, I want Steph Curry because I feel like he's the greatest shooter of all time and the way he's like spaces the
floor. Do you think he's the best point guard of all time?
I do think he's good. And I feel like having a team of Steph and LeBron is just completely unstoppable.
You have
me again? That was me again. Then let me get Hakeem too. Because I feel like Hakeem could slow down Shaq, and I feel like he's, I wouldn't say underrated, but he's up there with Shaq and Kareem.
And again, in the one time they played in the playoffs in the finals, Hakeem destroyed Shaq. I think Shaq may struggle to play in the modern game, while Hakeem, I think his game was built for the modern game. I think he's one of the big men of that era that would really still be a force today. I think he could space the floor, he could shoot, and if expected to put the ball on the floor in the modern game like now, I think he would be able to do it in a way that Robinson and Ewing and some of those other guys probably could.
Yeah, I think Hakeem is extremely underrated.
For sure.
Okay. Well, with not many all-time point guards left, you know, I think I'm going to have to take Oscar Robertson.
Interesting. I was going to go. All right, so I'm going to stay with the wing player. I'm going to, as I talked about, All-Star Weekend. I feel like now I sit down with my son and watch it, and it just doesn't have the panache, but the first slam dunk contest between Larry Nance and Dr. J was one of the most riveting things I've ever watched. Dr. J, I was a little late for him, but I definitely watched him late in his career. He was so explosive, and his ability to finish at the rim was like nobody else's. I think that, you know, he would be one of the greatest slashers of all time. I'll take Dr. J.
All right. I'm going to go with my opinion. If I needed a bucket, I would take this guy over anyone else. Kevin Durant. And then with my next pick, I'm going to go... See, this is a hard one. I'm going to go with Kobe.
That leaves me. All right, I'm gonna get another big. Pattern of players going right from high school to the pros. And the second he got there, he fit in unbelievably well. Struggled to win a lot early in his career based on his situation, but when he got to the Boston Celtics and got paired with two other great players, was really unstoppable at his peak, and I would take Kevin Garnett.
I'm surprised that this player is still on the board. I'm going to take another big man as well, who I think is the best scorer of all time per era. I'm going to take Will Chamberlain.
Interesting.
I know Jonah's not going to be happy with my pick, but...
Oh, God.
I'm going to take Kawhi Leonard because when he plays, he's probably the best defender in the league, and you can't deny his scoring greatness as well.
He's ridiculous, so, you know, I like that pick, Zane.
And then with my next pick, I want, ignoring his off-the-court issues, but I want Karl Malone.
Okay, with my final pick, I think that I'm going to go to someone who I like his game a lot, Charles Barkley.
All right, I need a point guard, and I need a Nick, and there's only one. It's the best announcer in basketball. He's got more style than any other human being on the planet, and in that great game where famously Willis Reed came out of the tunnel, Willis Reed only played for about 3 minutes, and it was Clyde Frazier who scored, I think it was 28 points and had 16 assists and really won that title for the Knicks. So I'm keeping the ball in the hands of Walt Clyde Frazier.
For my last pick, I'm going to go with, I need someone really athletic on this team. I'm going to take Giannis. I think his length, his athleticism would be really good for us. So my team, Magic, Kobe, KD, Giannis, and Kareem. I think that'd be pretty unsolvable.
Yeah. My team, I had Oscar Robertson, MJ, Charles Barkley, Shaq, and Wilt.
My team, I had Steph. I had the best player of all time, LeBron James. I had Kawhi, Karl Malone, and Hakeem.
And I've got Walt Clyde Frazier, Larry Bird, Dr. J, Kevin Garnett, and Big Smooth Tim Duncan.
All right. So we're going to actually play another game, Start, Bench, Cut. And, you know, we can kind of get, like, analyze all these players, too. So the first three players, Magic, Curry, and Kobe. Who wants to start?
I could start, and I think this might baffle a couple of you guys, but personally, I'm starting Steph Curry, benching Kobe Bryant, and I'm cutting Magic Johnson.
Doesn't baffle me at all, man. I'm going the same order. I think Steph Curry is the greatest point guard of all time, and I think Kobe's done more in the NBA than Magic has.
I think that is absolutely ridiculous. I think that I would put Steph as number one. I am not a Kobe guy. I've never thought that Kobe was at the level that people have put him on. While Magic revolutionized basketball and early in his career was absolutely unstoppable. The fact that he, in the finals as a rookie, when Kareem got injured, played center, a position he never played, and dominated that game. He, you know, 6'9" guys who handle the ball now and facilitate is something that all three of you have grown up with. He was such a unicorn at that time. He obviously would struggle, I think, in the modern game a little bit because of his lack of shooting. But he could create mismatches in ways that no player in the modern game can. Unbelievable.
I actually would take Magic to start. I would take Curry to bench, and then I would definitely cut Kobe. I think Kobe is 100% very overrated. He was not as efficient. He was not as efficient as many other guys in, like, the top 20. Curry, I think Curry and Magic is really close. I think Curry probably will end up finishing ahead of Magic. Like, I will rank him above in a few years. But I think Magic just had a little bit has a little bit more impressive of a resume. And he was like 6'9", could pass, could kind of do everything. And yes, the shot, but he was just such a unicorn at that time. So.
No, I definitely agree. So next, Tim Duncan, Hakeem, and Shaq.
Okay. I'll start.
So I'm going to actually start Tim Duncan. I'm going to bench Hakeem. And I'm going to actually, I'm going to bench Shaq. I'm going to cut Hakeem. But that's really hard. I think Tim Duncan, probably the most underrated player. And I know everyone says that, but he really was such a good player. And his teams were always in the race, you know, always like, he's just such a steady presence. And I think Shaq was the most, so dominant. Literally the hack of Shaq. That's insane. And then I think, sadly, Ben Shaquem. So.
I completely agree with Jonah. I'm going to start Tim Duncan, Ben Shaq, and cut Hakeem.
You guys are absolutely off your rockers. All right. First, clearly Tim Duncan was by far the best of these players. Hakeem, at his height, was absolutely unstoppable. Those two titles back-to-back, he won almost single-handedly and was amazing. And in truth, though Shaq was dominant, he's kind of what I see in sports as a bully. He would dominate series, or in the moments where his team would struggle, he would throw in the towel. And the amount of times that he got swept out of the finals by teams that were in some cases good, but I think it was 4 straight years he got swept in the finals. And for me, that's a sign of a player who's not willing to dig in, you know. And I've always thought Shaq was a front runner who, when it got, you know, tight in crunch time, was a liability on the floor, if nothing else. Compared to basically Hakeem, who was just unstoppable in the post every fourth quarter in that run to those two titles.
No, yeah, I'm gonna have to completely agree. I think Tim Duncan is the best out of the three. And regarding Shaq, I think although he was dominant, I feel like Hakeem often gets overshadowed by Shaq and Kareem. And I feel like there's definitely like an argument to be made that Hakeem is the best center of all time.
Okay. So the last one of these, we have Jason Tatum, Devin Booker, and Luka Doncic.
All right, I'll start. For me, clear cut best player on this list is Devin Booker. I mean, I'm a Suns fan, I know, but I think Booker is the best scorer on this list and second best defender on the list. And all three of these players have done something in the playoffs. Booker and Tatum has been to the finals. Luka has been to the conference finals, but I feel like Luka, to me, is one of the most overrated players in the league because he doesn't play both sides of basketball. even on the side of basketball that he does play, but his offense, he doesn't, like, he can't play off ball. He needs to be ball dominant. And I feel like you can't share the court with another star. And Jason Tatum, I despise as well because I don't like the way he plays basketball. I feel like the ball has to go through him. And I feel like if he's off that night, then like you can't win if he's not doing great. But I feel like being the scorer that Devin Booker is, he gets his other teammates better looks as well. And I feel like he's also one of the most underrated defenders in the league as well.
I would personally disagree. I would start Luka. I think the pace that he plays with, I think the way, I know he's a little bit ball hog, but like he's still setting his teammates up. He rebounds, he passes, he shoots. He averaged like 30, what did he average? 37 and 8 this year, something like that. Like that's insane. That's unheard of. For a player at his age. And I think he just does more on the offensive side of the basketball than Devin Booker does and Jason Tatum does. But personally, I would take Devin Booker to bench and then cut Tatum, because I think Booker consistently, he's very consistent as a scorer. He's efficient. And I think Tatum needs to get to that level. But I think Tatum at his best is better than Booker's best.
I disagree with both of you. I'm going to have to start Luka, bench Tatum, and cut Booker. Just because I feel like Tatum's over Devin Booker in the terms of, like, he can win a game being, like, the best player on his team. And I feel that Devin Booker, like, he's always had a pretty good team with the Suns. And, like, when he's gone to the playoffs, he's always had a pretty good team. And he's never really, like, showed out like Jason Tatum has. Like, as you see in that past game 7, he had 51. So, that's my opinion.
I think it's one of those interesting questions that I think if you go by their careers up to now, I think Booker has been the best. But I think if you look over, like, and ask this question again 5 years from now, I think there's an opportunity. I think Tatum has the biggest ceiling, but I would take Luka. I think Luka, the way he dominates a game, I think it's consistent that he is the focal point of an offense and that he can control a game in a way that the other two, I think, are still reliant on how well they're shooting the ball, where Luka can impact the offensive side of the game in many different ways. And again, he feels like a different kind of player compared to Booker and Tatum, or players I feel like I've seen in my lifetime. Solid shooters who have the ability to do a little bit off the dribble, while Luke, I think, is unique in how he can dominate a game with the ball in his hand.
I agree. I feel like being unique isn't always a good thing, though. And I feel like Devin Booker being able to do what he did this playoffs, I know he got bounced in the second round, but I mean, like, his stats this playoffs were absolutely ridiculous. And I don't think you can say the same about Tatum, who I think has had a poor playoffs, and Luka, who didn't even make the playoffs. And I feel like being able to share the court with Kevin Durant, who most people would say is the greatest scorer of all time, and outscoring him every single game. And if you watch Suns basketball, like, you could tell Devin Booker is the clear best player on that team. And I feel like Devin Booker is no doubt the best scorer in the NBA.
I think you saw Luka completely destroy your team last year. And I think that Luka is clearly better than Devin Booker. That just the, like, Luka, like, He's just been in the MVP race every year. I'm not a Luka fan at all. I actually don't like him. But I just think clearly, like, the way he affects the game, just more than Booker. So, yeah.
I mean, I completely disagree because, I mean, I know Luka likes to play at his own pace. But in my opinion, Devin Booker is a better scorer than Luka, better defender than Luka. He's made it to the finals when Luka hasn't. And I think both players are still young, but Luka, a lot of people aspire him to be to have a great career and one of the probably be an all time great. But I feel like Devin Booker gets overshadowed, and I feel like he has that chance to be great as well.
Okay. All right. So I guess we'll give finals prediction, or well, we'll give finals predictions now.
Yeah, your final predictions.
Yeah. So you want to start?
Yeah. I think I got Nuggets in five against. Assuming the Heat beat the Celtics, because I don't think the Celtics are gonna win against the Heat because they're down 3-0. But I think the Nuggets will win in five because I think they're a clear better team. And I know Heat has gone up against the Celtics, the Bucks, and complete demolished both teams and even the Knicks. But I feel like Jimmy Butler has definitely solidified himself as one of the best playoff performers of all time. But on paper, just off what Nuggets have accomplished this season, I feel like you can't deny Jokic and the Nuggets.
I think I have Nuggets in six, probably. I just, like, you know, you can't forget about Jimmy Butler, but I think you know, Jokic is just way too good. You know, when the Nuggets are gone, you can't really stop them. So, yeah, I have Nuggets in six.
Looking back at some of the, you know, the great teams and the great – well, not necessarily great teams, but some of the teams that have won the finals that haven't been the great teams, I guess. The guys who've won and played the best has been the Bob Orries, the Mario Ellies, the Van Vliets, and – this Miami team has an entire roster of those guys. And to see what Vincent and Strews and Martin have done in this playoffs, obviously a tip of the hat has to go to Spoelstra. I mean, he is clearly putting himself in position as one of the two or three top coaches in the league with what he gets out of what he's given. At the same time, I think Jokic is such on another level than anybody else in that team. I underestimated this Nugget team coming into the playoffs, and I have been so impressed with a combination of Jokic's dominance along with Murray's ability to close games. And I think the combination of that, those two, with a smattering of, you know, a good performance from Porter Jr. here, Gordon there, Brown, I think it's just going to be too much. While at the same time, though, this Heat team that I've driven me crazy and I've hated for years, I'm almost coming around to it a little bit over the last couple of days because of how amazing some of these role players have been. And, yeah, we'll see.
I think, you know, it's crazy that we're all going to be down in the Heat again. But, I mean, I'm going to pick the Nuggets in seven. I think Jimmy Butler and that team is so scrappy and feisty that, like, they can definitely get two or three games. But I think this team, the Nuggets, just, they all fit so well together. Like, the starting five, and then that, like, rotation of, like, seven with Bruce Brown, KCP, MPJ, Jokic, Murray, Gordon. Like, it's just they all play off of each other. And I think Jokic clearly, you know, he's the best player in the league. I think Jamal Murray at his top potential is really, he's really shined in the playoffs throughout, not just these playoffs, but also in the bubble, the last time he was really fully healthy for a playoff run. And I think this team is just, it's just going to be too much. There are going to be games where the Heat will be in it, but then the Nuggets will go on a 12-0 run and hit a bunch of threes, and there's just nothing you can do. It's just like, it's a perfect, I feel like it's really a perfectly constructed team. And I think Coach Malone is also an amazing coach. And I love, like, what he says in the press conferences and all that stuff. And I don't understand why they're still getting disrespected. People are still talking about, like, all the media was talking about is the Lakers. When the Nuggets have clearly been the best team all season. So, I just don't think the Heat are going to have enough firepower at the end to win it.
Yeah, I agree completely. I think, back to what Mr. Rosen was saying, I think Spoelstra never winning a coach of the year is ridiculous. I think he's been one of the best coaches this decade. And I feel like Malone this year has been probably the best coach this year. And I feel like for people who aren't like casuals, I feel like this series would be like really refreshing and really good for them. Yeah.
Something interesting on Spoelstra, I saw a statistic. He has the second most playoff wins of any coach with one franchise in the history of the NBA, which is just simply unbelievable to think that he'd be in that spot based on how he's viewed by the outside community. You know, you have these greats like Phil Jackson and Kerr, and he's won more with the Heat in the playoffs than those guys. It's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, I think the Heat are an amazing story, and this is like an amazing run. And I really like both these teams a lot, and I think this is an amazing series for the NBA. So.
I don't know if the TV.
Not the TV ratings, but I think for real NBA fans, yes.
Do you have anything else?
I think that just about wraps it up. Any last thoughts, Mr. Rosen?
I would just like to thank you. I feel like it's such an honor to be the first guest on the Benchwarmers. It will be, I feel like something in 30 or 40 years when I'm looking back on my life, this will definitely be one of the highlights. So thank you guys very much for the opportunity. Hopefully I've done enough to earn another invitation back sometime in the future.
Yes, yep, we thank you. You definitely can come back whenever, especially during football season, when we transition our content a little bit. So, yeah.
Thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you guys. Take care.
Take care. Yeah. Okay, moving on. So, the draft lottery was last week, and the Spurs got the first pick, meaning they won one of the most hyped-up prospects, Victor Wembanyama. Will Wemby live up to the hype? Will the Spurs make the play-in next season?
Personally, I think Wemby will be a good player in the league, but what some people are saying that he'll become the GOAT, I don't think it's that far. I think he does have a past full of injuries, so I think that might affect his career as well.
I see the Wemby as I think he's going to be really good, but I do think the injuries will be a thing. He's also learning. I think he landed in an amazing situation with the Spurs. With, like, I saw that Tim Duncan is going to be, like, mentoring him. I mean, I don't see – I think the Spurs will probably – like, they might – I think they should take it slow, but I think they might try and sign someone this offseason. Like, I think they don't want to waste any time with Wemby. So I do think they probably will be in the play-in race next year, as long as Wemby stays healthy.
I completely agree. I think the Spurs is the perfect fit for him, especially because how they used Tim Duncan. In their first season with Tim Duncan, they made the playoffs after having a bad year before. So I think it's a perfect fit, and I think maybe something similar will happen with Wemby.
Yeah, I think you
got it.
All right, I think the Spurs have gotten so lucky with their picks, like David Robinson, Tim Duncan, and Wemby. Every time they've been bad, basically, they've gotten generational prospect. And that just, like, they've been such a good run team for so long that, like, the luck kind of, it makes sense. But
I think that also proves to them being a good organization for young players. You know, they always get a big man and, you know, make them a good player or an all-time great Hall of Famer. So,
yeah. I just think, I think Wemby will be a great play, but I just feel like in the media's eyes, like, if he, even if he's like, even if he has a great career, if he's not like one of the greatest all time, like they'll call him a bust. And I feel like with that much pressure, it's like extremely hard to succeed. And I feel like in his first year, he'll do great probably, but because I don't think the Spurs are a playing team.
Do you think he'll be Rookie of the Year?
Yeah, probably.
I think so. I think we'll average about like I think we'll honestly average probably like 20 and 10 from day one.
And assuming he gets injured. And it's not even the just the offense. Like, his defensive presence is amazing too. He can like block 3-point
Yeah.
shots. Crazy.
The only problem though is like imagine him guarding Jokic. Jokic is gonna bully him. Like Jokic is gonna put his butt in the post and destroy him. So I think he'll be good, but I think that's gonna be the one part of his game that he's gonna need to work on. But otherwise, yeah.
Okay. So moving on, what team do you think that didn't make the playoffs this year has the biggest chance to contend next year?
I would personally say I think the Thunder. I think the Thunder with Shai, Josh Giddey. I think Shai has just become like he's always been kind of underrated and now people are finally respecting him. But that like he's amazing. He averaged 30 this year. He's only gonna get better. He plays defense. He's like they just have and also Chet getting healthy. I think Chet's gonna be really good. And like as long, I know like the health thing kind of similar to Victor, but like there's no way Chet is not gonna be a good player. I think Chet adds another piece to that team and I don't see that there's any way that they're not like I could see them as the 5 seed in the West next year, 6 seed.
Okay, for me, I think the Mavs have a chance. You know, they've already made it to the Western Conference Finals in the past years. So honestly, I think at the end of the year with the addition of Kyrie, it hurt them at the end of this past year. But I think, you know, they'll bond, they'll become better, and I think they'll maybe have an opportunity.
Yeah, one of my favorite teams in the West was the Pelicans this year. And I really like how their team is built. I like their coach and with Zion coming back, I feel like they should be like not a contender, but like a good semifinals team, maybe Western Conference Finals, but the Western Conference Finals is stacked, so I feel like I can go either way.
Are we sure that Zion's gonna be healthy though? Like he hasn't been healthy at
Obviously
all.
not, but if he is healthy, he's like one of the best in the league, so
Yeah, it's really disappointing. Like he's kind of become a little irrelevant 'cause he just doesn't play and it's like it's kind of sucks. But
all right, so what went wrong with the Lakers this year? You think that Darvin Ham should be fired? Where what better do you think they could do in the offseason?
I think a mix of a lot of things. I think clearly watching that series, like you can just tell the Nuggets are the better team. The Lakers at least showed fight, unlike Celtics, as we'll talk about later. But the Lakers, you know, they showed fight. They have LeBron, AD. Well, we'll see if LeBron comes back. And AD clearly, he's not the player that he once like was consistently. Because at the end of the day, he's had so many injuries that he has those games with 40 and 13, but like you can't rely on him on a night-to-night basis necessarily. And I think that I don't think it's a coaching issue. I think Darvin Ham is should not be fired. I think it is totally fine. And I think in the offseason, you know, I've been seeing the Trae Young rumors. I think that would be really interesting. I think obviously if they could get like Dame, but that's not realistic. I think Kyrie will always be a like always be in the rumors, but I don't think that's a good move for them. I think it just relies on if they can get Reeves back. If they can't get Reeves or Rui back, then they're gonna be in a rough spot. But
I mean, yeah, they can match whatever contract Reeves or Rui gets, and but it just depends how much money they're willing to pay for them. And I feel like I know LeBron said he might be retiring, but realistically, he's probably gonna run it back. And I feel like Darvin Ham shouldn't get fired, but just because like I feel like it's unfair to fire any coach in the first year because I mean like coaching is like a hard job to do, and it's like you can't win it all in your first year. I mean, you can, but it's like really hard to. And I feel like the team currently constructed, I feel like they're not as good as the Nuggets, but they should be like contenders.
yeah. Also, at the beginning of the season, you know, no one like people didn't even think they would make the playoffs because they had a very rough start. You know, they changed their team up a lot, and I think even if they keep a very similar team, like they'll have a chance to win one, two, maybe three rounds next year because you know, they'll get the groove together.
I think that they're going to struggle to stay healthy. So I honestly, I'm not sure if they're going to be. Also, is D'Lo a free agent this year?
I don't think so.
He's not. So that's not a good contract also. He's in the regular season, he's a good player, but clearly coming playoff time, he's not a good player. And I think, I don't know. I just feel like the Lakers, they're going to struggle to stay healthy. And I don't know. I see them as another, like, year, probably next year, like, 7 or 8 seed. And we'll see if they can get healthy come playoff time.
Yeah, I mean, I think what we saw this year is that, like, LeBron's definitely regressed a bit. But at age 39, he's still got, like, he can still do it. And he's still, like, one of the best players in the league. And I feel like as long as Anthony Davis is healthy, I feel like they'll be, like, a 4 or 5 seed.
I don't know about that, but that's a little stretch. But
I mean, like, they were one of the best teams at the end of, like, the end of the All-Star break. Like, they were literally the best team in the league.
But that's relying on a lot of factors to happen. Yeah, they have a huge offseason.
Anthony Davis needs to be healthy, and then, like, LeBron can't really regress that much more, and then other players need to step up.
Yeah, I think we'll see. I think it should be interesting. So, as we saw on the other side of that series, the Nuggets were really dominant the whole series, and their best player, Nikola Jokic, was extremely dominant throughout the whole playoffs, averaging a triple-double, passing Wilt Chamberlain, triple-doubles, playoff triple-doubles. So is Jokic the best player in the league, and what does a what would a title this year mean for his legacy?
I think that Jokic is the best player in the league. And I think that a title would definitely move him up in the all-time rankings. And he's done so much for his team so far. And, you know, he's not that old. So
where would you have him? Where would you have him?
That's a top 25. Yeah, somewhere around 25, I think. But that's a very hard question. You know, I think I'd have to see, think about it a little more.
I think Jokic is absolutely number one, the best player in the league. No one even comes close. Like, I don't know if you remember this, Jonah, but before the playoffs, I said Embiid is better than Jokic, and completely take it back. I think Jokic is unguardable. There's nothing you could do to stop him. Only thing he's not, like, the best at is defense, and I feel like he's still a solid defender. And I feel like if Jokic wins a chip this season and Finals MVP, probably, he will go down as one of the best bigs of all time. Even, like, his resume right now is 2 MVPs with the ring, Finals MVP. Like, it's ridiculous. Ridiculous.
I think he's 100% the best player, and he's really a step ahead of the rest of the game. Like, you watch him play, it's just, he's a step ahead. It's even when he's tired, like, he just facilitates, sets screens, all that stuff. And then when he's really aggressive offensively, he just backs down, gets to his spot. And he hits those crazy threes. Like, it's crazy. And it just feels like the offense with him, without him, they'd be struggling. I think he's definitely the most impactful player in the NBA. And I think if he wins a title this year, that definitely cements him as a top 25 player. And I could see this, like, him probably getting another MVP in his career, probably another finals. I really could see this guy going down to top 15, maybe top 10 all time. I really think he could.
Yeah, and I also think that, you know, he has, like, a good game every single game. Even if he's not scoring that much, like, as you saw in game 3, like, he still provides for his team with his passing, you know, with his just ability to facilitate on the offensive end. So, yeah. Okay, moving on to the East Coast. Do you guys think that Jimmy Butler is a top 10 player in the league?
I think he's hovering around the 8 to 10 range. I think Jimmy, after this playoffs, like, he's always been a playoff performer, and he does everything great. And I feel like the only thing he's, like, missing is, like, doing exceptional, like, in the postseason as a team, like, getting to, like, the finals. I mean, I know he's been to the finals before, but like just getting to that next step, like winning a ring and stuff like that. But I feel like there's a lot of great players in the league, and I feel like he's hovering around that 8 to 10.
I think you put it. I think he's getting to. I have him at about 6. I think there's just nobody. It's just his leadership, his overall. He's not the most talented on the court, but he's doing something that he's always done, which is outwork people, even on the court at this. Like, he grew up homeless, worked to get into this situation, and I feel like he still kind of plays. He still plays with that edge, and there's not really many stars nowadays that play with that edge. It's usually the role players. And I think Jimmy just, he kind of, his edge kind of contributes to the rest of the Heat team. And I think you got to have him at about 6. Like, I would take him over Devin Booker. I would take him over Jason Tatum. So.
Yeah, I feel like he's around that 6 to 8 range. I think, you know, he's just amazing in the playoffs, and people often, like, forget about him during the regular season. And he always brings that leadership to the table. So, yeah, I think he's around 6 to 8. And also, what do you think – or, sorry. If he wins the title this year, is this the most impressive title one for a superstar in the last decade?
Yeah, no doubt, 100%.
I think so, for sure. I think Dirk's the only run that kind of rivals that, because he led that team with that wasn't that talented against the Heat. But I think Jimmy just, it's like they literally were in the play and they were 6 minutes away from being eliminated, and now they're one game away from the NBA Finals, and they have a legit chance to win it, so.
Yeah, especially because how many people doubted them, like, especially in the Bucks series, but then even in the Knicks series, you know, I've heard a lot of people say, like, that's an easy win for the Knicks. And then moving on to the Celtics, no one thought that they'd be up 3-0 right now. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, so who do you guys think is blame for the Celtics series, this Eastern Conference Finals?
Personally, I think you got to put the blame on Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown has been absolutely atrocious this series. I know, you know, Zhang's going to have an opinion on Jason Tatum not touching the ball in the fourth quarter. But personally, in the first two games, he was still very good. And the third game, he was not good. But Jaylen Brown has shot, I think it's like 10% from three this series or something. And he's been absolutely terrible. And as your second best player, and he might be losing himself some money right now. I don't know if the Celtics are going to want to pay the Supermax to Jaylen Brown now and keep that duo together. So I think we'll see. But
yeah, I think, honestly, you can't really blame one player. Last game in Game 3, you know, no one scored over 15 points that game. And I feel like they really just need someone to step up. So I guess you could say Jason Tatum's to blame for that, because they really needed him to step up and carry the team through. But, you know, I feel like everybody as a whole needs to step up for them to win.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I feel like the Celtics 100% should be winning the series. And I feel like I know a lot of people are going to blame the coaching. But I feel like, again, it's Joe Mazzulla's first year. And I feel like no coach should be fired after their first year on the job. And I feel like no coaching can change the fact that Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown have both been shooting kind of poorly from the from three and from the field in general. And I feel like if you were to blame someone, it would definitely be Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown, because as the team's best players, you kind of have to step up.
I just think that Jason Tatum's been playing pretty well, and I think that Jaylen Brown has gotten kind of swept under the rug a little bit, but I just think he deserves more of the blame. And also, why do you love Joe Mazzulla so much?
I just feel like I don't like him that much. I just feel like it's unfair that he gets the blame that he gets, because I know they made like a title, like a playoff run last year, made the finals, but it's just unfair to blame a first year head coach.
I think it's slightly unfair, but I also think the vibe of that team all year has kind of been like, we're too good. You know what I mean? They've been kind of overconfident, and I think that's probably partly Joe Mazzulla.
Yeah, but back to what you're saying about Jason Tatum having a good series or whatever. I feel like Jason Tatum has had a very poor playoffs for a top seven player, I would say, in most people's eyes. And I feel like if you're going to be a top seven player in the NBA, then I feel like you can't have the playoffs that he's having. And he's done this multiple times where he's made it to the Eastern Conference Finals, the finals. Like, he's done it multiple times. But this playoffs in general is just, I don't think it's been very great for him. This series has not been horrible, but he's not been good either. And the playoffs just generally has not been good for him.
I agree to this series a little bit, but I don't think he's been bad. And I think all playoffs, at the end of the day, like, the Sixers, whenever he needed to show up, he showed up. So I think he should, in game six, at the end of the game, he showed up. He won them game six. In game seven, he dropped 51. He showed up. So yes, being a top 10 player, you're supposed to be more consistent. I completely agree, and I don't understand why he gets so much leeway. But he still has had a pretty good playoffs, in my opinion. And at the end of the day, like, he's been in the conference finals, like, every year of his career. Like, he's been he has showed up in the playoffs most years. And I know as an organization, like, the Celtics want to do more. And, yes, they should do more. But I don't think it's on him. So, yeah.
I think it's, like, I know you said about the Sixers series or whatever, but I think he had a very not he didn't have a bad, like, bad series against Philly. He was definitely not his greatest. His first game, game one, he had a good game. He had 40, I think. And then game two, he had 7 points, and I feel like you can't do that if you're Jason Tatum. You just can't do that. And then game three, he had 27, but horrible efficiency. Same thing with game four. And I feel like, especially we've seen from this series mainly, like, he's just been asleep in the fourth quarter. Like, I don't know where he's been. Like, he just turns the ball over every time he touches it. He takes horrible shots that just don't go in. And I'm not a fan.
So what could the Celtics do to get over the hump?
I think they're there. I think they got to run it back. I feel like I really liked what they did in the offseason last year, adding Malcolm Brogdon, and I feel like maybe get some more bench help. Maybe just, like, I feel like this is just a collapse, and I feel like they got to run it back.
Do you think Jaylen Brown stays?
I don't know. Maybe trade him to Phoenix, but other than that, I think he's
what's up with you and your son's bias? I think Jaylen Brown will probably stay also, but I wouldn't be surprised to see him on the move, because even before these playoffs, he made those comments about Boston. Like, he's made a bunch of comments, so I don't know. He seems kind of...
I really want to see...
I also haven't seen him and Tatum, like, kind of, like... I don't know. Have you ever seen them, like, celebrate together? Like, it doesn't seem like they're, like... They're not, like, beefing, but they're not, like, close.
Yeah, they're not that close.
Yeah.
If Jaylen Brown does leave, like, what do you think he'll be able to do on, like, another team if he's, like, that guy?
That's a good question.
I mean, I really want to see him lead his own team, and I feel like he'll give me, like, the Mikal Bridges thing where, like, he goes to his own team, he'll be able to stand out, and I feel like a good team would be, like, I think Tyrese Haliburton and Jaylen Brown would be so good. It'd be so fun to watch. And
that would be fun. I think, but do you think Jaylen Brown is the same caliber player as Mikal?
No. I'm saying, like, he would do what Mikal Bridges did on the Nets, where he would just, like, become, like, a bad superstar player.
I think he couldn't, like, if he goes to the Rockets thing, that would not be good. He can't be, like, the number, he can be the number one, but he can't be, like, the number one without another star there. Like, Tyrese would be good with him. I think him on the Kings would be sick. That's what I want to see him on the Kings with De'Aaron and Sabonis and all those shooters. That would be great.
Yeah, I agree. I think him as, like, the number one option, like, just wouldn't be able to win that many games. So
yeah, I think the Celtics also, They might want to change things up, though. It's been a few years, and I think it's the problem with Tatum and Brown, though, is, like, kind of Marcus Smart is their leader, and like Tatum's got to take that leadership. Like Marcus Smart, like I feel like he doesn't have Tatum. One thing that he doesn't have that dog in him. He doesn't have that like attitude to take over in the fourth quarter. That's one thing that you are right about. But I still think he's had a pretty good playoffs. But yeah. So that's gonna wrap up our episode. Thank you for watching. You guys have anything?
Yep, thank you for watching another episode of the Benchwarmers, and hope to catch you next time.